Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's nice that you could be with us this morning. Guys, we're all of a sudden just jumping right through the month of June already. It's hard to believe. But one of the things that's happening here, and no matter when these actually are, when we have a baptism, or in the case of this weekend, baptisms for all of our services, we're going to just kind of put the light over here on our baptismal font to remind us that it's a very important part of what we do. We had one last night, and then we're going to have another one today after late church. And so, but nevertheless, we will be praying on behalf of both the young ones that are being baptized and also their families this morning. I know that most of the people that come to this worship, this is the worship you attend, 8 o'clock worship, but just in case you occasionally are going to be seen at some of our other worships, I want to just let you know a couple things. For the next 4 months, June, July, August, and September, our 5 o'clock service now has, the communion has moved to second and fourth Saturday rather than first and third. So second and fourth Saturday, the rest of this month, and all of July, August, and September. There's a bunch of scheduling stuff that's making that necessary. It works better that way, even for the next several months. And you might notice that even though we don't have communion this morning, these are the vessels for our Saturday night communion, or usually it's our Saturday night communion. We are going to be demonstrating these at our late service this morning, and then, because it's summertime, just at 11 o'clock, the 8 o'clock folks, we're not going to change anything, but just at 11 o'clock, the next four communions after this morning, we are actually going to use these vessels and the method that we go through communion, just as a way of it gets us through our service quicker, and it also gives us an opportunity to just see what happens throughout our church body there. And as I said, it's just a summertime thing, four times over the course of the summer, and then we'll return at 11 o'clock to what we usually do. So if you're wondering why those are there, that's what that is all about. Next weekend, I'm going to be away for Saturday night. The elders are going to be conducting the service, and then they're going to help me co-conduct the service then for next Sunday because it's a very special worship. We're not going to do a different one whether I'm here or not. So it's going to be a special service that's based on the Psalms, a very special service that we have coming for you next weekend. So we hope that you can join us for that. We made mention last week that our food bank is closed. It's going to be closed through tomorrow. We're going to be talking about it tomorrow night at the Executive Council, but it is our plan now here, first couple of days of this week, to conduct some training for some new people to help us in the food bank. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking about the long-term future of our food bank at Executive Council tomorrow night. So we'll have an update for you about that. I know that hopefully that doesn't impact us directly necessarily often, though it is something that is there on behalf of our members. But if you'd like to help us with that, please let either me or Sandy Leanouts know that you can help us for that. The other events, from New Member Sunday to Vacation Bible School and Sunday afternoon at a baseball game, all that is off into the future, and so, but keep that in mind that all that stuff is coming our way here in the weeks to come. Please make sure that you let us know that you were here this morning, both our members and our guests, and I got reminded again last night that we always have guests come summertime, so help us with that this morning and let us know that you were here. Our service for today is a service of prayer and preaching. We use it from time to time, but this is one of these services where both the greeting and the peace and the first hymn that we sing is moved back into the service. So we'll begin with our service here in just a moment. We're going to take a moment of silence here as we prepare our hearts to worship our Lord and God on this Sunday where we recognize the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God bless us as we worship this morning. As you are able, please stand. This is the day which the Lord has made, from the rising of the sun to its setting. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Creation begins with the presence and activity of all three persons of the Trinity. And in that baptism, we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Despite the perfect creation by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have all fallen into sin and failed to live as holy and perfect creatures. Following a moment of silence, let us confess our sins to God, our Heavenly Father. O Lord God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, yet we have failed to proclaim your majestic name in our communities. We have denied your glory and sought our own glory. We see your mighty works, wonders, and signs every day, but we often fail to find delight in them. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus. Lead us by your Spirit. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for your sins. Jesus Christ was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, breaking the chains of death. God has given all authority in heaven and on earth to Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ. He has sent the Holy Spirit, who has called, gathered, and kept you in the one true faith. So as a called and ordained servant of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are forgiven. The Holy Trinity works together to accomplish our forgiveness and salvation. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve our Lord. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Amen.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for Holy Trinity Sunday, the first Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is from the first chapter of Genesis. The very beginning of the Bible has the triune God creating the heavens and the earth. Moses writes, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.' And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. Because of the length of this morning's service and the upcoming creed, we are going to go past the epistle lesson. So the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. We are commissioned to baptize into the name of the triune God and teach all he has commanded to all nations. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the gospel of our Lord. Once a year on Holy Trinity Sunday, we confess the third of our Christian creeds. We frequently confess the apostles and the Nicene, but The creed that does need, because it most clearly describes the relationship of the Holy Trinity, three persons in one God, and also Jesus Christ as true man and true God, is the Athanasian Creed. We will break it into two parts this morning, and I'll have you be seated while we confess this creed together. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father, uncreated, the Son, uncreated, the Holy Spirit, uncreated. The Father, infinite, the Son, infinite, the Holy Spirit, infinite. The Father, eternal, the Son, eternal, the Holy Spirit, eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreateds or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. May the grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you. We worship and praise Him who truly is one God. Amen. My text for this morning is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 28, often called the Great Commission, but in the midst of some of the most memorable phrases, phrases used and repeated often, used as themes for all kinds of weekend retreats in our church body, what may in fact be the most important phrase of all is the first thing Jesus said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Friends, growing up, I had this individual who, well, when he was at the place where I was growing up, he was the area baseball coach, and I guess he was involved in some of the things at the local high school. But somehow or another, and I guarantee it was not purposeful, either he would follow me or I would follow him into whichever locations that we would end up going. I mean, people didn't move that much in those days. But between my 7th and 8th grade years, I moved from having spent my entire life in the same Lutheran church, the same Lutheran school, to a place that was much closer to my father's work. And I started going to public high school. That same year, this individual who had been in my town, took a job at my new town. And now he became the phys ed coach. He coached the girls' basketball team. He coached some of the boys' junior varsity teams and stuff. And so I had him again on a regular basis. And then finally, you know, as most everybody gets to do, I graduated from high school, went off to college, and was like, well, I suppose that is that. And when I was a sophomore, I started playing a lot of intramural basketball. I was a part of a team that actually got to play for quite a while. There was this really long tournament that we got into, and we won several games. Well, one night, we're getting ready to start playing, and you're always checking out who the officials are going to be that night, and who walks in wearing a black and white striped shirt, but the same guy again who now has taken a job. He decided he had had enough of the coaching in high school, but he was business manager for one of the local companies in the town where my university was. And on the side, he decided to, you know, take some side jobs being a basketball official. Well, when I was in high school, this guy, like almost every other teacher had to, even someone like him, would have to help direct and sit in place for some of the study halls, the times when students weren't in other classes, but they were supposed to be directing their time towards studying. Now, different teachers had different ways of dealing with students that weren't being entirely cooperative about the study atmosphere that was supposed to be in that room. He had his own unique way of dealing with that. And if you decided you're going to be making noise when you're not supposed to, he would just very quietly, you know, would just let the room go silent, make it clear that he's staring right at you, and then say, okay, give the name. And then he would say, I would like you to write me a 500-word paper on, and he'd pick a topic. And who knows what that topic was. Sometimes it was a topic that, it's almost like he knew the student, and something that that student would be actually willing to do some research about and write 500 words on. And sometimes he'd pick a topic I think he knew the student didn't have the first idea what that was all about. Well, if you are asked to sit down and write a 500-word paper on our faith, what would you write on? How easily would you get to 500 words? And you know, the nice thing today is on our computers and so forth, we have these word counters. You got to dig sometimes to find it, but it's in there in almost every computer. And because, you know, back then, and it was so hilarious that because he'd give them X number of days to get the paper finished. And you would see these students sitting there counting the words, which was, I think, their way of saying 500 words may as well have been 5 million in terms of their ability to try to find something. But, you know, I noticed that in what is actually 660 words, if the word count was important, I probably would have chosen a different number. But still, in 660 words, some people from just centuries and centuries ago, led by a gentleman by the name of St. Athanasius, were able to sit down and, based on what is in Scripture, and admittedly, sometimes there isn't much, and craft this document that tells us how the business of the triune God, three persons, one God, actually works. And then, the part we haven't even gotten to yet, Jesus Christ being both true man and true God, in terms of trying to get you to an understanding of how that really works, it doesn't get better than this. It gets right to the heart of the matter. Now, it didn't necessarily come easily. There would be people, some of whom were a little bit more on the three person side, some a little bit more on the one God side, who would look at what the other side was writing and would craft a whole series of writings in which they're basically, they would use, back then they were called anathemas. I will simply say that it was their way of writing a paper in which they would call the other side a bunch of idiots. But somehow, all of those people got together and told us and gave us a real truth of a creed that, even though it's long, so we only confess it once a year, tells us a lot about God. But you know where it comes from is what we have learned in Holy Scripture. And that's where today's gospel lesson and today's Old Testament lesson comes in. Because it all starts with a God who simply by saying, let there be. And how many times this morning did we hear the words, and it was so? God creating whatever it is that needed to be created. And if you, by the way, if you ever really look into creation, it's not just, well, what'd be a good thing for the first day? We'll do this. No. Actually, if you look at creation, it is very orderly. God creates certain parameters on certain days, 1, 2, and 3. And then, for each of the days, whatever parameters he set on the first day, he fills on the fourth day. He sets on the second day, he fills on the fifth day. He sets on the third day, he fills on the sixth day. Go ahead and read creation and take a look. Go from day 1 to day 4, day 2 to day 5, day 3 to day 6. And God is very orderly how he sets up that creation for us. And make no mistake, all of it is for us. But each one of you have been created. Yes, indeed, there is a process that God has put into place where he said, be fruitful and multiply. But God has created everything simply by his word. This is how it's going to be, and it was so. Now, we can't, how God's word is supposed to work is not something we can always see. The power of a word at some point might be obvious, but how it gets just from word to action will always be a great mystery to us. But still, that's how God works. And so, when we come into worship this morning or any other Sunday, you may be coming in, and who knows what's in your heart, what's troubling your soul or whatever that brings you into worship today. But as you come in to lay all of that before our Lord and Savior, someone you can't see has already taken his place right up here. And whatever it is that we want to bring to God, God is going to bring to you many times over. Again, we can't always see it, but it is there, and it comes with great power. And even as Jesus in our gospel lesson today said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, I want you to remember that when I say to you the following, because it's all going to come from the authority of him who died and rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of the power of God on high, where now he says to you, go. And even as you came into worship, and there is much more coming to you than what's coming from you, so when he says, go, there is going to be much more coming to you than what he is going to be asking to come from you. Now, look at what he's asking. To make disciples of all the nations, and by the way, you know, don't feel like you have to make the disciples of all the nations all by yourself. You are just a part of the process that needs to be done. And how is it to be done? It starts right over there, by baptizing. And then, even though the Bible always uses the word in, the Greek uses the word in too. Into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus says that, and the first thing he says is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. From all appearances over there, all we have is a basin. We have some water. We've got a couple towels and stuff like that to help clean it. But there is nothing obvious from a human standpoint. But just as there's nothing obvious as the Lord tells us to go, just as there's nothing obvious as the words come forth from God, but they come forth with great power to create an entire universe, so also, look at the great power that comes into each and every one of us. That's what the power of baptism is all about. And then, to teach everything that I have commanded you, again, words from Holy Scripture that come to us with great power. And in that great power comes forth great faith. And in that great faith comes the ability for us to speak 500,000 words on what the Lord has done for us. So we have the opportunity. Because as we remember, as Jesus starts, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And remember, I will be with you always to the end of the age. There's no place we can go. There's nothing that he's going to ask us to do in which he is not going to give us more than we could do for ourselves. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Not just placing the faith in us through baptism, but in allowing that faith to go forth as you become that chosen instrument of the Lord God to bring the good news to somebody else. God gets the credit, but you are the one that has been asked to go and make disciples. And indeed, we can go. And whether we have to do it with a pen, with a computer keyboard, with a human voice, with whatever means that might be out there, trying to communicate with people from around the world, yes, even you, do not need to ever find yourself trying to count, have I gotten to the required number of words yet? We can speak with clarity. Because all we need to do is speak the words of God that already come with great power. We can do the things that need to be done in the faith as we encourage families not only to get back into church where the power of God is, but to get back to reminding themselves that the power of baptism can do so many things. It's not necessarily a standalone. It's the part of a long process of faith, a process you well understand, but a process that needs to begin in earnest once again. And nothing better to get that process jump-started than to get that thing over there a whole lot busier like it is this weekend than it has been in the time that I've been here up until now. That's only going to happen, my friends, one soul at a time, one testimony at a time, one understanding and sharing of who God is at a time. But as we do that, God gives to us something where he is going to follow us no matter where we go. Now, at some point, no, I can honestly say at some point, I have moved to places where I'm quite certain, even if that person is still alive, and I don't know if he is or not, at some point he was no longer following me or I was no longer following him, as the case may be. But at the same time, God was both leading me and following me. He was then, he is now, he will be for the rest of my life, and he's going to do the same for you and from you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's then return to the second part of the Athanasian Creed that is in our service folders on page 8, or you may follow along on the screen. We speak together. It is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God, one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. We receive our offer. The response is up on the screen, or you may follow through with the entire prayer that's in our service folders. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, For those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship this weekend, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding, and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance, and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in the paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss, the dying in their last days, and those whom we now name before the Lord in a moment of silence in our hearts. That they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. For Paige Madison Remus, who received the washing of holy baptism last evening, on behalf of Jason Anthony Jaros, who's going to be receiving the washing of holy baptism after our late service this morning, on behalf of both of their families and all who have the special need of coming forth and receiving the power of Christ in their lives in the waters of holy baptism and being taught all that he has commanded us, let us pray to the Lord. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude in the middle of page 11 with the closing collect. We pray together. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be both Lord and Messiah for us. By your Holy Spirit, keep us in the one true faith, which professes the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity, through our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.